I would like to thank you and thank you for joining us in worship once more. I'd like to thank you for all the newcomers who came and joined us today, and all the returning members. And also, we would like to thank everyone who is joining us on our recorded sermon. We remember this day because it is All Saints Day. And in the All Saints Day, it is really important to remember what our ancestors in faith had done and how they had followed Christ. We come and remember that because they had set an example for us in following and living in this life as a disciple. So before we dive into the word, let us have a time of prayer and let us join us into hearing God's word. We thank you for all you've done through the saints who were in front of us, through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we ask with our humble hearts that we will be able to follow that journey according to your will. Open up our eyes, our ears, and our hearts so we will be able to respond to your words. And may the meditation of my mouth, the word of my mouth, and the meditation of my heart be only worthy in front of you. We thank you and pray this all in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. We are starting this sermon series called Deep Blue. And the Deep Blue is a command of Jesus asking his disciples to do something that is extraordinary. And the way that he had presented it is as that he calls his disciples for God's will and God's purpose. But before we go that, let me just ask you a question. We are all United Methodist members. Some of them just call ourselves Methodists. But I would like to ask you if you knew the vision statement of the United Methodist Church. The vision statement of the United Methodist Church is making disciples for the transformation of the world. So this question is very valid. If you have been a lifelong member of the United Methodist Church, me asking you, are you a disciple, should be something that you can easily say, yes, I am a disciple. But on the contrary, what happens is a lot of people, when they are asked by this question, are you a disciple? They have a hard time answering. Probably because of the word, what the discipleship means. It is to follow, it is to be educated, it is to be doing the will of the leader and the teacher. But a lot of us see discipleship in a negative way, that it seems like there is a heavy cost and a heavy burden to follow our Lord. And it is true that a lot of people think that this cost is too heavy, the burden is too heavy, that it is really hard for them to commit their lives as a disciple. But the thing is, because of that, what happened is a lot of people think that discipleship is only for the ones who are truly committed. Discipleship is considered to be only for a job, for the people who committed their lives, like a pastor or a missionary. Discipleship seems to be only for the ones who are that 20% who is involved in every church activity or every church leadership. But the fact is, as we see in the Bible, and as we also see as a United Methodist member, discipleship, the call to discipleship is for everyone. Our life and our Christianity doesn't mean that we can just be here sitting as a Christian, but there is something more that God is intending us to do, and God invites us to this discipleship. But how is it possible? Because it seems like all the disciples who we know, the apostles who we know, suffered in a big extent, in a huge amount. Peter, who we are going to talk about, actually ends up dying because of what he has been following. A lot of people that we think who are called and who are to be disciples seems to be that they are living in a life that is carrying a lot of weight. And there is a certain aspect that we just do not want to be that disciple. But we do have to remember that it is only possible because we are called to be a disciple. Do you guys, I keep on saying do you guys, But I should change my words and say, y'all remember. Y'all remember this young little high school student from Texas, Ahmed Mohamed, who actually made a clock out of his pencil box. And his teacher, what did she do? She reported him, and he was taken into custody. This had gone through the media, and people thought that this was outrageous, that this young little student who was interested into invention was mistaken as a terrorist just because of many other factors that he might have projected. But it was so fabulous when President Obama had invited him. And I know that there are some other voices that say, why did he only invite this student? But I want to focus on this, how that had impacted this student's life. He was called by the president. He was recognized by the media. MIT and all these fabulous schools went after him. And he might have always had that gift of being interested in science. But once there was a call, I'm pretty sure that he is all committed for science from now on. I'm pretty sure that he is going to strive and he's going to dig deep. And someday we might hear his name again. Why? It is because there is a power when you are recognized and when you are called. If we think about the burdens of discipleship and we forget about that we are actually called to be God's disciple, we get to overlook the value and the transformation that happens. And that is something that happened today. When Jesus was in Gennesaret, he was there out preaching, and all these people were following Jesus. And Jesus knew that he had to have some distance because they were all crowding him around, and he didn't want to get squashed by the people. So what he did is he actually hopped in one of the boats. It says in Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 3, once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, and the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. What had happened here? Jesus stepped into the world of Simon. And he was there, yes, to preach. He was there to have some distance. But he was there to actually shake the world of Simon. And I want to ask you, when did Jesus step into your life? When did Jesus step into your world? I am pretty sure that a lot of y'all have grown up in a Christian family. And people think that since I was raised in a Christian family, this is what I do. But do you know, and have you ever thought of it in this way, that Jesus stepped into your life even before you got to choose him? Jesus stepped into your life even though there was a possibility that you can reject him. Jesus stepped into your life because Jesus had a plan of your life. Jesus stepping into Simon's boat seemed to be more something that was out of the blue, but that might have been something that was well planned out by God. And Jesus stepped into my life. I was born as a fourth-generation pastor's house. And I'm pretty sure that God had put me into this family because God had knew what I would have done if I weren't in a Christian family. And he purposely placed me here. And in that way, God stepped into my life. And I am very certain that the reason why you are here is because God stepped into your world. But what happens afterwards is this. When he finished speaking, He said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. Whether it was out of a very spontaneous call, Jesus calls Peter, and Jesus asks Peter to go a little bit more deeper. There we know the reason Jesus stepped into the boat was because Jesus wanted to ask this question. The reason why Jesus stepped into our life is because Jesus wants to ask this question. Throw out your net into the deep blue. Peter was a lifelong fisherman. And as we read on verse 3, he was actually cleaning his net. Because what did he do? He might have been fishing all night and haven't caught anything. He might have been doing his work all day long and nothing was really productive. So that was a time where he knew that it is time for me to go. And he was cleaning his net until Jesus came in. And Jesus comes in and asks Peter, who is a professional fisherman, to go out to the deep and go out and cast his net. As a professional fisherman, Peter could have said, "Lord, I have been out all night and I had thrown many, many times and never caught anything. Lord, this is not the time we do it. This is not the way we do it. And Lord, we never done that before. We never went out to the deep in this time of hour." Don't you hear that a lot in our church? When something new happens, "We haven't done it before in this church." Or have you ever heard, "We done it in the past and didn't really work. And we know that this is not the way." Don't you hear the same thing in your own life when God is asking you to do something and you say, "Lord, I tried that and it was quite difficult. I'm not going to do it. Lord, you're asking me to do it with all these risks that I have to take care of? I don't know if I can do it." When Jesus steps into your world, Jesus has something to ask you and Jesus will definitely challenge you. But my question is, are you willing to do what Peter had done? "Lord, I fished all night, but if you say so, I will let down my nets." Are we willing to be obedient to God's command? Are we willing to say yes and take that cost? Because that cost, a discipleship, actually is a paradox. In a way that it seems like we are paying a lot, but we will be gaining more than we can ever have. Peter, it seemed like it was so outrageous for him to go out and throw his net into the deep water on that day of a time as a fisherman. But once he did it, and once he obeyed and he humbly followed God's will, that actually transformed his whole life. Instead of living as a fisherman, I'm not saying that fisherman is a bad job. I'm glad that we're not in the harbor. But it had transformed his life in a new meaning. Not only to follow his own wills, and not only to follow his own purpose, but rather to follow God's purpose and live for God's will. And Jesus transforms his life by saying, "From now on, you will be fishing men." Think about your life. Was there a call of Jesus? Or was there a call from God that asked you to throw your nets out into the deep blue, but you might have said, "Lord, well, I never done it before." Or, "Lord, I don't think that many people really do it that way. Oh, Lord, that seems to be too hard." But what if we all did it? What would it happen if we faithfully follow to be a disciple? And if we followed the call of Jesus Christ? Jesus continues to say in Luke chapter 9, verse 23 to 25, "Then he said to them all, 'If any of you,'" let me rephrase it, "if y'all want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." Let me say this one more time. Let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will save it. What does it profit them if they gain the whole world but lose or forfeit themselves? What are they losing? They might be losing the purpose of God. And when we are not fulfilling the purpose of God, there is a big void. And that void is much, much more cost-worthy than the cost of discipleship. And that is why Jesus is asking us to take up our cross and deny ourselves daily. Because in this denial, there is purpose that is given. In this denial and death, there is life that is given. And this denial of ourself, that is where the kingdom of God starts to grow. And God asks us to humbly follow God's will. That's what we have been reading in the Acts of our reading schedule. And this is something that I really want you to remember, that in our bulletin that we have a reading schedule that will be aligned with the sermon that we have. And we have been reading Acts chapter, the whole book of Acts, and we will be finishing up in the next couple of weeks. But what do we read from these readings? That the apostles who were called to be God's disciple had constantly denied themselves up to a point that they knew that it was worthy enough to give up their whole life. But it is not that them who gave up this life lost it. They actually gained themselves in it. And are we willing to follow that call of God? What will happen if every single one of us sitting in this room respond to that call? I believe that the world will change. Let me share a picture that I had encountered yesterday. And this is actually one of my fellows in Asbury Theological Seminary. And I just got to be amazed of how this is well shared now. Now, on Facebook, they have around 5,000 shares of one post. And I wish that I would be in their position one day, that my post went out viral like that. But this is what they say. God loves you and your baby. Please do not abort. We will adopt your baby. Come and talk to us. His name is Kevin Cook, and he started to write this blog about planned parenting. And he, in a way, yes, he is definitely pro-life. But he knew that as God has drawn his heart to this, there was a call that he needed to respond to. There was a call that he needed to throw his net out into the deep. And he wondered what it was. And probably one of the solutions is not that God wants us to change the whole world with one decision, but probably that might be God wants us to do one to one that they would rather do to everyone else. And they chose to do that one thing. That seems to be so outrageous. And they chose to come out and stand in that picket and to say, we will take that child for you. It reminds me of the workshop that we went to, Tearing Down the Walls, where Shane Claiborne said, if all the Christians had responded to God's call, there would be no orphans in the world. There would be no homeless in the world. There would be no people in need in this world. It's probably us, when God asks us to throw the net into the deep water, we might say, Lord, we already do it as a church program. We already feed the hunger. We go out once a month and we volunteer here. We are doing it. But rather, don't we have to put our minds back and say that that is a practice for us to really respond to God's will? And when God is asking you to do something, are you willing to throw your nets into the deep blue? Peter has done it. A lot of our forefathers and all the saints have done it. And maybe it is our time to do it as well. Because of the love of God, denying ourselves become much more easier. Because of the love of God, this whole notion of responding to God's call is something that we can do as a joy and a purpose of our life. That's why we need to focus onto the love of God instead of focusing onto the love of ourselves. And probably that's the reason why God and Jesus said, deny yourselves daily. And that's probably the reason why we need to take up our cross every day. When we talk about cross, we always have this negative connotation that cross is something that is burdensome. It crosses something that is difficult. But rather, cross is the reason why we can live in such a radical way. When Peter saw that this catch happened, and when Jesus was something new and something true, he fell on his knees and he said, Master, go away from me, for I am a sinful man. In the Message Bible, it says, Master, go away. I cannot take your holiness. And it is something that Peter was crying out because he knew in a paradox that it was not actually that he wanted Jesus to come away from him. It was something that he wanted to draw near to him. So when Peter said out of his cry, please go away from me, Jesus said, no, let me invite you to stay with me. And when we hear that this call is too hard, Jesus, out of his grace, says, don't worry. Walk with me, and I will help you to respond. So instead of drawing away from God, we should draw near to the cross, knowing that that gives us the power to respond. As I was preparing this sermon, it was probably Wednesday, that I heard this song and this tune playing up above. And I knew that this was such an appropriate hymn for us to sing. And I wanted to invite you to sing with me, but I also wanted to share this in my own language. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. If we want to follow this call, we need to grow near to God's cross. And as we grow and draw near to him, may we have the strength to deny ourselves daily.